You're listening to the Party in the Back podcast with John Kudo. The Party in the Back podcast is brought to you by Mascot Link. Connect with your biggest fans now with Mascot Link. In-seat visits, VIP experiences, holiday deliveries, and paid scoreboard messages. Mascot Link's powerful software gives you the tools to create memories for fans while generating revenue for your team. Visit mascotlink.com. That's mascot-link.com to get started. Let's get the party started.
Welcome to the Party in the Back podcast. If sports marketing was a mullet, the business in the front would be forecasting budgets and measuring ROI, but the party in the back of that mullet would be mascot beatdowns, players creating memories, and culture nights that connect your fans and your team. And we are here for that fun side of sports marketing on the Party in the Back. I'm your host, John Kudo, and we're pulling back the curtain on how the most memorable game day moments are made. For more than 35 years, I've been immersed in the world of sports presentation. From mascot performance to producing large-scale events, I've worked at the intersection of strategy and spectacle. I bring experience from college to the NBA and with global brands like Nike and WWE. Now, I'm focused on shaping the systems, content, and community that bring fan experiences to life at GameOps.com. We are a hub for tools, ideas, and conversations in the game operations world. On this monthly podcast, we talk about the people building the fun side of sports, like fan activation, stadium storytelling, and creating lasting memories for fans. And rarely have I been so excited about a podcast as I am this month to kick off the new year. Now, I found a clip of what is among my favorite mascot skits ever about a month ago. I had heard of it, but I had never seen the video. I stumbled on it, and I knew I wanted to talk about it. It's a pregame skit from the Phoenix Suns gorilla. Now, I thought of calling up Bob Wolf, who was the man in the monkey suit that night, but then I thought, hey, this skit stars NBA center and mascot menace Robin Lopez, and I thought, hey, I know Robin Lopez. Let's see if he'll talk about it and talk about his entire career of being a mascot menace. Lo and behold, he agreed. It's an awesome conversation with Rolo, and it's coming up next. Don't forget to check out the homepage on GameOps.com. We have Cultural Heritage Night. They're not just ticket drivers, they're community builders. From Jewish Heritage Ice Nights to Latino celebrations at ballparks, teams across baseball, hockey, basketball, and football are turning culture into connection and game nights into meaningful experiences. Plus, we have a checklist on how to build these engagements for better heritage celebrations. We have imprinted items, interviews with industry leaders and huddle calls, the water cooler, and more. You'll find it all on our homepage. But I cannot wait any longer. I'm too excited. Let's get this party started with Robin Lopez. Today's guest is a true unicorn in the NBA, someone who didn't just play the game, but he played along with it. Robin Lopez, longtime NBA center, world-class competitor, and quite possibly the greatest mascot nemesis the league has ever known. While most players stick to the script, Robin made a career out of breaking the fourth wall, feuding with mascots, hijacking in-arena moments, and reminding fans that sports are supposed to be fun. Beyond all the viral clips and the sideline chaos, Robin is a thoughtful, well-spoken veteran who understands the power of entertainment, character, and storyline telling in sports. His willingness to lean into the absurd helped create some of the most memorable moments and genuinely joyful moments in modern NBA arenas. Today, we're going to dive into that mindset behind those moments, what it's like to be that guy in the building, and why embracing the fun side of sports matters more than ever. Please welcome to the Party in the Back, our friend, Robin Lopez. Welcome, Robin.
How you doing, John? What's up?
Hey, it's so great that you joined us. We'll get to it in a second, but I found this clip online. It's one of my favorite skits ever. We'll talk about it a little bit with the gorilla. And I remember thinking to myself, like, should I get, Bob Wolf, the iconic gorilla? Should I get Bob to talk about it? Should I have our friend Rob Wycall, the old San Antonio Spurs? He's on that podcast often. I'm like, maybe you can talk about it. I'm like, you know what? I know Rolo. I've met him. He's a great dude. I'm going to get him on there. And then I thought, you have such this great story to tell about your interaction with mascots and how you bring so much fun to the arena. So I wanted to dive in. So welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, thanks. I'm so excited to be on the show. Those are the exact kind of questions I look forward to hearing.
I love it. So I gotta tell you, I read somewhere, as I do, I do deep research on all this. I read somewhere that your feuds with mascots started when you were a child. Is this a true story?
People are always asking me for the origin. And there's actually, I wouldn't say, I've always loved mascots, Like, I've been kind of fascinated by that aspect of sporting events. I'm a big basketball fan. My older brothers play basketball, so I would go to the games. And Brooke and I, we wanted to be just like them. But we also saw all the other aspects, the other pageantry involved in basketball games. And Brooke and I always loved the mascots. We loved tormenting the mascots. I remember going to one of my brother's high school basketball games, and we would follow the eagle, the Clovis West Golden Eagles. We would follow the eagle around and we were the kids. They were pulling his tail, unfortunately, of course. There always are, I'm sure. So we've always been fascinated by mascots. And depending on which origin story you're referring to, it's true. It's my fiction. Yes, it's my fictional supervillain origin story, in the sense that I became a supervillain. I guess you're the hero in your own story and everything. But that did happen.
That's great. So tell that story. Because I know this person. So I love this story. I love how this was the seed that was planted years and years ago.
So speaking of my older brothers, my eldest brother Alex, he played for the Santa Clara Broncos. This must have been like in 1997 or 1998, like around when Thunder first started.
Yep.
And we were in Toso Pavilion at Santa Clara, and he was doing some publicity. He was on the main concourse, and I saw Thunder signing autographs for people. So Brooke and I, of course, we couldn't turn down that opportunity. We went right up to him. He had a huge mob of kids around him. And I remember Brooke went up first, and Thunder was signing glossies. And Thunder asked for Brooke's name, and Thunder signed to Brooke. That's a girl's name. And then I went up next, and Thunder asked me, "What's your name?" And I said, "Wobbin, I'm Wobbin." I had a speech impediment when I was a kid, like in third grade, especially. I remember being in speech classes. And so I told them Wobbin. He said, "Thunder put two Wobbin or two Robin. Where's the W?"
Well, I got to tell you, so that guy, Thunder, is a friend of mine, Siddiqui Fuller. He's actually since passed away. After this, and I just laugh when I heard that story, other than it being kind of a terrible thing to say.
That's hilarious. It was, in the moment, I remember getting it, and I had mixed feelings. I was like, that's funny, but I can't believe. Well, first of all, I was surprised because Thunder could talk.
Yes.
Because he said it to me first, and then he signed it to the glossy.
Do you still have that glossy?
I have it somewhere. I know I've got to find it, because my mom doesn't throw anything away, and I inherited that. I don't throw anything away.
That's awesome.
So I have to find it, because it's in my mom's garage, or it's in one of our storage units somewhere. I remember I put it up on a bulletin board in my bedroom. It was signed Thunder, and it had the inscription and everything. So I've got it somewhere. I've got to find it.
That's incredible. So I love that story where, again, that's your villain or origin story. You are a comic book guy, so you understand the importance of that seed that planted who you are, who you became, how you tormented mascots and made them pay for Siddiqui's foolhardy foolishness at the way back in 1996. I love that that's true. When I read it, I was like, that's incredible. And again, for your story, it is incredible. So when did you first realize, you know, oh, I can, you know, fast forward, now you're in the NBA. Now you can mess with mascots and people are going to love this. Was there a moment that really became, when do you remember that becoming a thing?
I remember it took off in Detroit, and I wasn't the impetus behind it. Hooper stepped up to me first, because I think maybe a couple games ago or a couple weeks earlier, Brooke and the Brooklyn Nets came to Detroit, and Brooke, Andre Blatch, a bunch of Nets stomped out Hooper. So I came into Detroit and I was fairly ignorant of everything that was going on, but Hooper wanted to come to me. He wanted to step at me like it was some kind of familial blood feud or something. So I inherited the beef and it took off from there.
That's hilarious, because I always feel like Brooke, I always looked at him as being kind of like the innocent bystander in this whole mess.
Right, and he unwittingly, he started this whole thing.
Oh, that's so great. So did you see this as entertainment from the start, or was it just pure instinct and it evolved into something bigger as you went?
That's a good question. I think at first it was kind of, it was just entertainment, because NBA games, you know, I'm gifted to what I was gifted, you know. I was very fortunate to play for 16 years. But when you're playing games, especially like in that January, February trudge, it can get a little monotonous when you're flying from Milwaukee to Minnesota on a back-to-back night or something. So players are looking for, you know, something to spice it up, something to spark, you know, make the game a little more entertaining. And I think that's kind of how that started a little bit.
Oh, that's great. And do you feel like this helped you? You know, I'm a guy, I've sort of born and bred in watching WWE and those characters and how you, like you, like the comic book side where you have that villain origin story. All these wrestlers have their kind of origin story, who they are. And I love that when it crossed over into sports. And like when I was a kid, there was a guy named Al Habrowski, the Mad Hungarian, who it was part of his persona. It wasn't like it was a gimmick, yes, but it was also, it kind of like fueled him. He was a relief pitcher. Mm-hmm. He would get all psyched up. He'd slam the ball in the mitt and he'd like stomp out to the mound. But it really, it was a bit, but also it helped him. It kind of psyched him up. Did you find that this helped you as a player kind of build into like, get you into the mindset to get ready to compete?
I do think so. I think it kind of helped me figure out like my place in the league a little bit. Like I came in to a very veteran Phoenix Suns team. And so I was, you know, playing maybe every other night. I was playing a few minutes some nights. If Shaq was out, I'd play, you know, 17 to 20 minutes a game or something. But I got injured in my second year. And my next couple years, I was kind of a little uncertain of what, you know, what I was supposed to do on the floor. And I played for a crummy New Orleans Hornets team. I think anybody on the team will tell you that. We got the number one draft pick the previous year and we got Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis's rookie year. It was invaluable experience. But I think coming into Portland, everything kind of congealed with that Portland team. I had been in the league for a few years. And this is also when the mascot feud kind of took off. So on the basketball side of things with Portland, I'm playing with, you know, Damian Lillard in his second year, LaMarcus Aldridge, Wesley Matthews, Nick Batum. I'm kind of figuring things out a little more there. But on the same time, I've got this mascot thing going on every, you know, before every game. And it's kind of fun, you know, I'm finding that rhythm a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I definitely think that once that definitely helped. Help me set my mindset, you know, go out there, take care of the mascot, and then get to business on the floor.
For sure. For sure. So how did you just mention like the who's who? The, you know, you have some basketball 75 guys in there, the NBA 75 guys in there, you know, Shaq and Damian Lillard. How are your teammates responding to this? They just, I mean, obviously they know you as a person really well. And do any of them kind of like think like this is too much, or are they all just like think this is hilarious?
No.
What's the take in the locker room?
I never got any negative feedback from it. And maybe playing with Shaq as a rookie, you kind of get the, he's like the patron saint, of like extracurricular basketball activities,
For sure.
of living and loving life in a basketball arena. You always see him diving into the front row. I remember we would do these ridiculous introductions for starting lineups where he would get Goran Dragic, Lou Amundsen. He'd have us do these ridiculous things like carrying him out as if he was in like a carriage or something when his name was announced. So I think maybe subconsciously that trickled in. I got to watch the best. But if anything, the guys love joining in. Anytime they got a chance, I remember Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis loved any chance he got to join in with the antics, with the mascot fights. I think it just kind of built team camaraderie,
For
realistically.
sure.
It was something that it was something we all laughed about. We were all looking forward to. I think even the players sometimes they were like, what's going to happen tonight? What's going on?
I love it. The Milwaukee clips are great because you can tell Giannis is kind of chomping at the bit, kind of almost like looking around, like when are they coming for Robin so I can jump in. Those are classic moments.
Absolutely. That's that showman in Giannis. He's absolutely looking for his entrance, his cue.
I love it. Do you have are there any times where you had like a rookie who did, kind of didn't know the gimmick and were like, what the hell's going on here?
Not that I can think of. That's an excellent question. I almost want to say, like, it wasn't like Michael Jackson famous or anything, but I think people were aware my reputation preceded me. So I don't think there were any situations quite like that. None I can think of.
So it really blossomed, and you talked about how it's like you find your way in Portland, all of a sudden this becomes a thing. And so then mascots and the game operations teams are starting to come to you beforehand, saying, kind of queuing you up like this is what we have in mind. And you, as I know from experience, you were kind of open to anything, really. You had experience in Atlanta, I believe. You actually filmed a bit where it's like you're filming stuff before the game even. You want to talk about that?
That was my favorite, I think, mascot. Just because it was clever, it was well thought out, and it was perfect timing and everything. So they reached out beforehand, kind of like just mentioning the concept, a mascot protest showing up after when I get off the bus, excuse me, get off the bus, and I'm heading towards through the tunnel to our locker room and everything. And it's just such a brilliant concept, and I think it came off just as I imagined it would. It came off beautifully.
Yeah, it's a really funny bit. I'll put that on the podcast page as well, in case anybody has missed that. Now, you mentioned you played for a lot of different teams, played for nine different teams. So, on occasion, after this has kind of started, you had to befriend some of the mascots. And I know you did a whole series of content with Stuff in Orlando. Can you talk about how fun that was for you, and that kind of change of pace from being like the villain in the story to now you have to befriend one of these local guys?
That was wonderful because Stuff was one of the mascots. He always cracked me up. Yeah, he had excellent timing. Like whenever, even before I got to Orlando, whenever I made eye contact with him, he would pause for a beat, hold the eye contact, and then he'd do the nostril thing that he has. And so Stuff always tickled me to no end. So when I got to the Magic and I was able to actually interact with Stuff, it was so much fun for me. And because he was somebody that would always play ball, but he knew that I was game to do all kinds of videos, and I had a little more time because I was a vet at that time. We had a very young team. There were no illusions about what was going on with that squad. So that was an incredible experience to be able to take some time to film some good content.
Yeah, it's an amazing content. Like I said, it's such a swing too, where you went from being straight villain to you embrace that role as here's Steph's buddy. I think there was ones where you're sleeping in his locker room. It's like you were
Yeah,
like the full on buddy movie.
that was the initial, like the first thing we came up with was the idea that because it was true, I was ha it was a year or two after COVID, and I was having trouble finding a place to live out in Orlando. So we kind of leaned into that, and Brooke has a place out there. Brooke has a place at Disney,
I was gonna say,
in
I thought
Orlando.
one or both of you had a place at Disney.
Right. But Brooke didn't want me to stay out there.
Well, what's that all about?
So
Come on,
I
Brooke.
know he's just being Brooke. Come on. No, but so we played into that, and we said, Brooke won't let me stay at his house. I can't find a place, so I've got a room with Steph of all people now.
Steph's got a
We
pool house,
was
though.
No, he wouldn't let me do the Fresh Prince, unfortunately. I wish, but no.
Bill Veeck said, "It isn't enough for a promotion to be entertaining or even amusing. It must create conversation. We follow that conversation at the GameMops.com water cooler. Monday through Friday, look at a moment created by a sports team and see how it got fans talking. These daily posts are a great way to kickstart some creative thinking for your own show. Look for the water cooler text scroll on our homepage or follow us on Twitter for the daily update."
So, was there ever a line that you didn't want to cross when you're doing these bits pregame or during introductions with the mascots, or you're just kind of obviously rough for anything, but is there anything you're trying to like, hey, I don't want to go this far?
Not really. I think there were a couple mascots I didn't really interact with. Jazz Bear and I had a cup. We I think we did one or two, maybe one or two kind of Punglistic skits, but usually Jazz Bear was all love. Whenever I would see him, it'd be really friendly. Let me Grizz, I think Grizz in Memphis, he always got the best of me. And that was intentional. We never wanted to show Grizz go down. I completely understand. Completely understand. Other than that, I can't really think of any lines that, I was up for anything. I was
Yeah.
always down. Whatever the mascot was comfortable with, I was cool with.
How aware are you of the crowd in these moments? Again, there's people who aren't in on the joke who are like, what is going on? Like, I remember people would come back and be like, what happened out there? Like, the guy just chased you down. And how many times is that? Are you aware of the reaction that you're getting in the crowd or that people have to this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You mentioned the rookies. The rookies, I think, have all been aware of it. There have been some times in the crowd where the crowd, I think, is just shocked. And they genuinely think I'm some kind of evil anti-mascot mastermind or something who genuinely cannot stand these mascots. When in reality, it couldn't be further from the truth, which is hilarious to me. I love
I
it.
love that
It's
part of it.
perfect. I couldn't ask for a better response from the audience in that case. That's perfect. That's beautiful to me.
And do you think fans crave that unscripted moment or that question moment where they're like, is that what just happened? Like, isn't is has sports and the NBA kind of become so homogenized where it's like this kind of like very straightforward presentation, and then you get something like Robin Lopez, like punching a mascot or like, wrestling a mascot to the ground. Do you think fans like that little spark, do you think that means something even more now because of the way sports is
Absolutely.
presented?
Absolutely. If we can create that air of spontaneity, the more genuine it is, I think it's such a wonderful thing. 'Cause it's so tough. And like you have so little, especially I respect the in arena operations, because they have such a rigid guideline and so little time to get the things they to get their little skits and they're like in between timeout, they're in break in entertainment off. That's so difficult to do. So if we can create like that appearance that it's completely spontaneous, it's completely natural, I think that's a wonderful thing. Those are always the best to me. It's funny. Not like I enjoy watching basketball, but that's kind of what my eye always tracks to. Even I told you, even as a kid, it kind of did a little bit. That's always the stuff my eye is attracted to when I'm at a game.
That's great. I love that it started so young when you were so young, and that's what you look for. Obviously, you're a basketball guy through and through, but like there's a you had an eye for something else that was going on there.
Oh, always.
So if a young player, like you said, you got to be, you know, you're 5, 8 years in your career, you're having these moments. If a young player asked you, like, is this okay? You know, you can always kind of tell, like, there's rookies who are a little timid about the interactions or about kind of like what's strictly business. What would you tell them?
Oh yeah, I probably would lean in a little bit to, you know, oh, you know, they shouldn't even be on the floor. You know, mascots, they're trying to hog the spotlight. Well, absolutely. I will let them know it's definitely okay. And I think eventually I would let them, you know, if they were that confused, we talk a little bit before. And so we've hatched this all out, so it's all good. Yeah.
It's great. So I did want to talk to you a little bit. This is, like I said, the impetus for me wanting to talk about this particular skit and having you on, which is this is amazing. But the Phoenix Suns gorilla had what is my one of my favorite skits ever, and if not my favorite, where he brings you out. This is done pregame. You talked about those windows. They are really tight windows, and I the fact that you started doing this during pregame, where there's a little bit more time and a little bit more time to let things marinate and kind of set up, which I really liked. But so pregame, the gorilla tricks you in to beating up a mascot that he pulls out there, which I believe, if I have this right, he pulls out the Atlanta Hawks mascot, and he's like, here, he gives you a baseball bat, actually. So you're beating him up with a plastic baseball bat. And which is all kind of fun and good. It seems confusing that you're doing this. And then he unveils after you leave, he pulls off the Atlanta Hawks costume and reveals that it's Benny the Bull, which you were playing for the Bulls at that time. So it's just this genius moment where the gorilla uses your hatred towards mascot to beat up your own mascot. So talk about how that came about. You know, did he pr approach you pregame and say, "This is what I want you to do"? Said that you're in on the whole thing.
See, so this is kind of like the beautiful you talk about those pregame interactions. The mascots would tell me little bits, and sometimes they'd say there's a little twist, and sometimes they wouldn't. You know, they wouldn't even say that there's a little twist. I would just, this is how it's going to start, and we'll see. And you know, you'll see how it ends,
I
which I
love
think
it.
is perfect. It's
Did so
perfect.
did you know? Did you know
No,
that
no, I had no idea.
that's amazing. And then so what's your response after it happens and you're like, I just beat up my own mascot.
I look, I've only taken one improv class in my career. I took one improv, so I can do yes and, but that's about it.
Sure.
But no, that was beautiful. You know, I was horrified because Benny at that point was my well, Benny at that point became my boy.
Sure.
He was one of the most nefarious mascots pre me joining the Chicago Bulls, but at that time he was my brother.
And you just beat up your brother.
I know it hurt.
So let's talk
Heartbreaking.
about your theater. I do know that you took some theater. Was it Stanford or in high school?
Stanford.
Look at that, like college level theatrics. Any shows that you, or characters that you did?
I could never find enough time to do a serious play, a seriously like all serious on stage play, just because I was too time consuming with basketball.
Yeah.
But I was able to do something that was it was a little more of a lark. It was called Gaieties, and it was put on the week of big game, the rivalry game between Stanford and Cal every year. And I did that for 2 years.
So you got some theater chops in you. That's good.
I got minor theater chops. I've got theater appetizers or
You
something.
can run with it. You know what I mean? That's kind of pre-internet days. Nobody's gonna go back and say, like, wait a minute, he didn't have a big role in that. He played a tree in the background, which at Stanford is actually kind of a big role, I
That's
guess.
perfect. That's per right. I never thought I should have bolstered my credits. I should have said, I remember we had my freshman year, they had Thoroughly Modern Millie. I should have said, oh yeah, I was in Thoroughly Modern Millie. You know, I was in everything, Ram's Head, all that. Yeah.
So what do you think about teams or leagues that sometimes are pulling back on the fun and making it a little more straightforward? Are they getting that wrong? Should this be a big part of the show?
I do think so. I do think because it's the entertainment business, you know. I think when
Right.
like I realize that Everybody in the league, they want to win. That's the ultimate goal. I completely understand that. The fans want to win too, but at the same, on this flip side of the coin, they're also looking for a good time. And I completely understand you have organizations out there like the Yankees, the Lakers, historical franchises that are focused kind of on that pompous integrity, which I love. I say that phrase in a very loving way because I completely understand it.
Sure.
But as a whole, I think it's got to be this whole fun-loving package, all of it. It's got to be something that just jumps off the screen. You can tell it's palpable how enjoyable this entire experience is at home or in arena.
Yeah.
And I think that's got to be something that pops off from the instant you see the screen or the instant you walk into the arena.
I used to do a character around like a touring character called the King. And what I would tell teams is like, you're going to go in and play a game. You don't know how that's going to end. This one, you know, you're going to win. It's going to be the King against your mascot, and you are going to win. You're in control of that story. And I always think about that when teams get nervous, they get a little uptight, like, well, I'm not sure how this is going to go. I'm like, I do. I know you're going to win this one. And so it's the story, like it's that theatrical programming that you know the ending is. And I think that's where teams can lean into this a little bit more because they control that story, which I think is important.
That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. I mean, it's when you control the narrative, there are going to be nights out there where you put on the same show and it bombs. But there are going to be nights where you put on that exact same show and it just slays. So there's that kind of variable that you can't really account for, but I think there's certain twists you can make so that it's, what's the word? What am I trying to say? There's certain adjustments you can make where you're as certain as possible. Cause you can put on a perfect skit and it just won't go over. There's sometimes that kind of immaterial, that gossamer that you just can't explain.
Yeah. But it's probably more controllable than the final score of the game.
Oh, no question about that.
Yeah.
No question about that.
So Robin, was there a mascot interaction that didn't go viral that no one saw that still makes you laugh?
I think I had a lot of great interactions with Slamson in Sacramento. And I think just by virtue of being in Sacramento, a lot of his stuff didn't always go over, but he was always very willing to participate. And he had great stuff, a lot of anti-Robin billboards. He had things on roller skates. Just he always did a lot of great stuff. And I think just because it was in Sacramento, it didn't always take off.
Yeah. That's good stuff. Well, and that's your home stomping grounds too.
Yeah, but I'm about, 2 hours from there.
You're big in Fresno, I know.
Absolutely, yeah. I can't only say I retired a King. I was technically traded to the Kings and then dropped, but I would technically retire a King.
You can say what you want. I mean, I don't know who's going to fight you on it, right? Wait, I think at one point, didn't you have a bobblehead even at the Fresno Grizzlies?
Yes, that. When I played for the Trailblazers, the Grizzlies had the Fresno Grizzlies are a minor league baseball team. They had a Fresno Famous bracket.
Yes,
and I think I want to say in the finals I went up against Heidi Watney, and I came out victorious, and I got a bobblehead. That's the way it should. I think that's still the only bobblehead I've ever had. I think in Chicago maybe they put out some prototypes, but it never got done.
Well, you get the bobble hair going. I mean, this is like
exactly right. It seems like a natural fit.
Missed opportunity is what I would call that.
Especially I'm jealous because I know Brooks had two or three done at this point.
Man, I mean, yeah, we don't need more Brook bobbleheads.
No, nobody does. Nobody does.
Well, have you been to the Fresno Taco Truck Throwdown?
Yes, I absolutely have been.
There you go. That's been an award winner on our site, so I know that that's a good one.
That's always an amazing time. I always go there with a buddy. I see Parker, the Grizzlies mascot, every
Parker's
time.
great.
Yeah.
I'm
But
assuming too that you could probably put down your share of tacos.
absolutely. No question about it. And because now, especially from the trucks, they make them in like snack size, I feel like. So you don't want to just order one. You've got to order five tacos or something, dust those off, go back for seconds, dust those off, come back in an inning and a half. They do it the right way. They do it perfectly for me.
I love it. I love it. Robin, this has been a total blast. Thanks for pulling back the curtain on the fun and the joy that you brought to all the NBA fans. You gave fans and the people creating those experiences a whole new way to think about what's possible. I know here at GameOps.com, we're all about producing those memorable moments in sports, and few have done it better than you. I did have the privilege of sharing the court with you and getting knocked to the floor. And I may have ripped off your tearaway pants during the anthem, and it was always a blast. It's great to see you, your hard work as a player up close, and it was always really visible and easy to see that you were widely regarded as one of the best teammates in the game. So, and of course, always will be in my top two rankings for Lopez brothers. So, I appreciate you catching up with us and sharing the story of your villain birth. Your villain origin story. And you can catch Robin Lopez as a regular analyst and personality on NBA TV's The Association, where he discusses NBA news, players, games, makes some predictions, and he perpetuates that hatred for mascots. So the story continues. Robin, thank you so much.
No, thank you. And I gotta say, it's I get a lot of attention for the mascot stuff because I don't have a mask on. People know it's Robin Lopez, but you always come up with such wonderful ideas, always executing the ideas perfectly. I love what you guys do. So I want to make sure you get some shine. Now that we're talking one-on-one on a forum like this. So thank you for everything you've done. I've loved it. I've loved it.
Don't miss the daily water cooler on GameOps.com. Every weekday, we post a promotion, theme night, giveaway, or an activation that got people talking. Last month, we added over 20 water cooler posts. It's so important that we have a big water cooler graphic on every page so you can join the conversation. Last month at the water cooler, we looked at Hanukkah hype from the Columbus Blue Jackets, Ref Appreciation Night in Flint, Pump and Gas in Sacramento, a scoreboard gecko who hypes up Bruins fans, and Emo Night in Milwaukee. Everything people are talking about at the water cooler Monday through Friday at GameOps.com. Now that's a wrap for the January 2026 edition of the Party in the Back podcast on GameOps.com. Thank you for listening. Keep an eye out on the homepage, plus Twitter, plus Instagram. For new content every week, I encourage you to visit our homepage for the latest ideas, inspirations, and tools to make your show shine. Big thanks to everyone who listens, reads, and supports us here at GameOps.com, and thank you for spreading the word about the podcast. Do us a favor, if you're on Instagram, give us a follow at GameOps.com, all spelled out GameOpsDotCom, and Mascot Link. We're posting and reposting a ton of fun Game Ops content, plus some of those VIP fan experiences from the top mascots in sports. Huge thanks to our producer, the very excellent Chad Gephardt, and thank you for joining us. We'll be back next month on the Party in the Back with more talk and analysis about that fun side of sports marketing. From my guests, the great Robin Lopez, shouts out to Brooke Lopez, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Vanessa Nygaard. This is John Kudo saying Happy New Year and signing off. But please, let's keep the party going.
Thanks for joining us on the Party in the Back podcast. We'll see you next time.